Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are and where we come from. So who are you and where did you come from?
So I'm Caitlin Brady and I come from Dublin.
Dublin, whereabouts?
Swords.
Swords, very good. So I was at an event. You walked into the room a little bit late.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, she looks a little bit nervous. I need to go over and say hello.
That's so true.
Yeah, yeah.
I was dying of nerves walking in.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go over and say hello because you were gorgeous. I like, you are gorgeous. And I walked in and like, I know those events can be really hard. Yeah. Like, you know, seeing big people, that big followings, and they're all not clicky, but they have their own crowds and everything like that. So when I seen you walk in and I could see you were nervous, and then you were like, I think your boyfriend was inside. Yeah. I was like, bring him in! Like, as if it was my event.
No,
I was like, bring him in!
I was delighted you did, though, because I was absolutely a ball of nerves. That was the first event I went to in, like, years.
Oh,
do you
really?
Know that way? Yeah.
Oh, so, and do you know what? I always say this to Bev, the unlikely stylist. I always say to her, like, I would hate to walk into a room and no one talk to me. So I always make sure that if I see someone on their own, I always go, hiya, you all right?
Yeah. No, you made me feel so much comfortable. I was nearly looking for you because I was latching on to you then.
good. And then I started to follow you on Instagram and your beautiful daughter, you doing your makeup and everything. And it was just, I was like, she's someone who's really going somewhere. She's a lovely girl. And then all of a sudden, a few months later, I see a post that you put up and I was absolutely floored because, and this is the thing about Instagram, we see only like windows into people's lives and we don't see everything. So do you want to talk about what the post was on Instagram?
Yeah, so I posted, I think it was a reel and it was a voiceover. It was a recording of how he was speaking. This is my little girl's dad. How he was speaking to me. Someone just happened to record it, which I was so happy for, because they were on the phone to that person. They recorded it, and basically it was just highlighting domestic violence and how you can get out of it on the other end.
Okay, from the start, do you want to tell me about him and Aaliyah and all of that? Do you want to tell me where it all started from?
So I was living over in Canada, and I just met him out randomly on a one night and we got on so well. We were like best mates beforehand. So I thought as a mate, like I could trust him, do you know that way? Obviously then something happened. I was at a party and at the party I almost got shot because basically there was an altercation happened. Two people started fighting. I just happened to be in the middle and like a bullet skinned me. So I ran upstairs, hid under the bed, and then I rang, the guards came or whatever, and I got brought to the police station. And then at the police station, I rang my little girl's dad to come pick me up. At the time, I felt like I had nobody, so for him to pick up and collect me at like 5 a.m, I was so grateful for it. Do you know that way? Because it was just, I had no one. He was the only person.
Was this in Canada? Or,
yeah,
so it was in Canada. So you're in at a back of a house party, a fight breaks out.
Yeah.
A gun is involved and you're nearly shot.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I processed any of that. Like, before I'd moved to Canada, stuff happened to me that that was one of the reasons of why I moved to Canada. I just wanted to get away and have a fresh start. But I think because I wasn't healed before I went away, I was making bad choices that were bringing me bad
situations.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you want to talk about what happened before, or?
Yeah, I mean, like, it wouldn't go. I think it would be a good thing to talk about in terms of if anyone else, which I know there's plenty of people that happens to. I was at 16. I was groomed by my auntie's boyfriend at the time, and he was like trying to get me to do things I didn't want to do, and I basically was just like, I told my auntie and my mom after, because I needed help. They at the time didn't know what to do, so like my family were aware, but obviously I just felt like I was alone, so like I just dealt with it alone. I didn't go to counseling, nothing was healed, do you know, I just dealt with it. Then I had him, like, that guy, he was a torment. He'd literally show up at my jobs just to intimidate me. And he'd stand in the middle of the road when me and my mum were driving to go out of the estate. He'd stand in the middle of the road just to intimidate me. Do you know what I mean? Just in the car. And he knew what he was doing. But then...
You must have been terrified.
Oh, no, I was. Because, like...
How long did it go on for?
It went on... I couldn't tell you how long it went on for. All I know, it was... fifth and sixth year that I was trying to get it dealt with, you know. And as well, I felt like I was going, because he was basically, he had people in places, and he basically told me that they'll never believe me because his dad is this person, his uncle's or his brother is that person, you know, that way. So he was just like, no one's gonna believe you, it's you against me. And well, he was gonna believe a 16-year-old, he was gonna believe a 17-year-old, and I was just like, well, okay, fair. Do you know? Like, I didn't think that I would. So then I just didn't even go and do anything about it.
Do you, like, it's weird, and we'll take a second. The amount of girls, even women my age, that are now looking back on their lives and realising that they were actually being groomed at that age. Because the initial reaction is, in some cases... oh, you know, he's cool, he likes me.
Yeah.
And that's how they get you in. And the amount of girls now that are, like, looking back on their lives going, fuck,
no,
that happened
100%.
To me.
And, like, I feel as well, when you're that age, when you're that age, you think, like, I know at that age, I thought I knew everything about the world. Like, no one could tell me anything. But it's only now, looking back, I just wish I, like, said more, and I did more to say, like, no, you can't talk to me like that, you can't treat me like that. The man used to, like, he'd try make you vulnerable, then try feed you drink to then, and I'd always say no, and he didn't like that, so then he'd get bladdered drunk, and then he'd be trying to then do, there was one thing that I'll never forget him saying. He turned around and was like, you need to get out, you need to get away from me quick, I'll go upstairs, lock the door or something, because he goes, I don't know what I'm gonna do to you. And I remember thinking, fuck.
Yeah,
I don't know, I gotta get upset.
Don't worry about it. Don't take your time.
Yeah,
don't worry.
But it's just, you know, when those words, they just kind of just sit with you, because you're just like, what the fuck are you gonna do to me? You know. Yeah. So that was that. Never healed from that.
And then, with it, take your time. Do take your time. I know. But take your time with it. When, like, you go then. Like, what courage did you have, and how did you get the courage to go to your aunt and your mum and say, this is happening, I need help?
I think it was, do you know what, it was, I was trying not to, I was babysitting at the time, so I rathered it being done to me before he would have done it to my little cousins, you know? So I was, like, it wasn't that I was happy, but I knew at least they wouldn't be...
You went into protection mode.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm actually so protective as it is, naturally. Like, I'm real protective of my family, especially. But, yeah, in my head it was like, you take it, because then they're not going to suffer from it. Do you know? I'm actually shaking.
I know. You're so brave, though.
And then, like, nothing really came of that. Try come against me, because it's not going to happen, you know. And that's why I never went further with it, because I just thought, it's a waste of my time. I'll probably make, because he's a very good talker, he was one of them, very smooth. So, like, I thought, I was young, naive, and then you have this person that's, like, really well spoken, has a good image. it's like me against him, and he has a great background in the terms of his brother and his dad. So I just felt like it was hopeless. So I didn't. I told my auntie and my mum, and they done what they could to help me, but like terms of legal wise, I just couldn't go further because I was scared. If I'm honest.
As you would be, as so many people are.
Yeah.
You know, and especially with someone who has that kind of control over you because of his surrounding and his family and his support and those kind of things. It's horrific, horrific.
At that point, I thought I was okay. But, like, he'd come in to places where I didn't even know how we got in because you'd have to have a key card. And he'd come in with his new baby and this would be years later. Do you know what I mean? Just to go and intimidate you, standing outside a shop, looking in, just watching you. Like, it was just torment. It was just pure torment. Because every time he did that, he would just remind you. You'd be thinking you're getting away, you're going to work, doing your job. And then you look out, you see this asshole looking at you, making you intimidated. And bear in mind, the man was like 36 and when I was 16. So, like, he was old enough to know what he's doing. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's more now because I have my own child where I'm like, what the hell does go through your head when you think that's sorry? And I wouldn't stand for it, like, at all if something happened to Aaliyah, do you know?
Mm. And so then that's when you are like, right, I need to get out here and I need to go to Canada, or what did you decide to do?
That wasn't the worst part.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Then it was the night of, like, a Conor McGregor fight. Like, that was friends with a fella for years. Like, years, donkeys. And then, out of nowhere, I was the one that had a few drinks. He didn't. He was sober. And then he told me to come back to his. We'll watch the Conor McGregor fight. And then his parents had spare rooms or whatever. I could stay there. And then I was like, yeah, grand. That was fine. Woke up. And he was there on top of me, like, holding me down. And I was just, all I remember saying was, like, stop. Like, just stop, and he wouldn't. And then the next day, I remember he texted me and was like, I actually don't know, I can't believe what I've done. And I was like, so you know what you've done? And he was like, yeah, but I'm so sorry. And I was just like, right, well, that's enough. Like, I'm done. So that's when I went to Canada, because I just felt like I was constantly getting taken advantage of, do you know?
But of course you would, because you had years of that, years of the grooming, years of torment after it. And then you put your trust in someone else who's a friend.
Yeah.
And then this happens.
Yeah. It's just, do you know, when I look back, I get so frustrated because I'm like, how did I not see? I just get frustrated because I'm like, why has it taken me so long to, like, realise that maybe men aren't all the same, but, like, shit, I've come across too many that are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not fair. And it's unfair that, like, girls have to, like, go through so much. Without really the same, we don't get the support maybe that we need. I think people should be going in and, like, talking to in schools, like, getting people. I know that there's counsellors and stuff, but even just doing talks that they can understand that these things aren't okay and not to be afraid to stand up and talk about them.
Yeah, and it is terrifying with you having Aaliyah, me with my two girls, and it's just like we're constantly now, you know, and to the point that Amelia's like, stop, and me and Paul are like, right, let's stop saying this. Like, we're like, don't ever let anyone do that, and she, and even if you're in so much trouble and you think you're in so, so much trouble, just call mum or dad. Just call us, because we'll be there and we won't ask questions. We'll just get you. And she's like, will you stop saying that now? Because we've gone through a world where we are terrified now. We're absolutely terrified of anything happening to our children.
Yeah.
And did you report him then afterwards, or did you just, that was it?
That was it. I left the country then. I had enough. I was just over life. It was either I left or I was gone, you know, like, really? I couldn't deal with it. So then I went to Canada, all that kind of, I was making bad choices over there as well, making bad friends, I was doing things out of the, because I was never always like that. I always was so good at my choices, my decisions. I was always good at that. But I feel like getting groomed and, like, rape, it does change you. You don't make the same kind of thoughtful decisions that you would have before. I was definitely self-destructive. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely, I just didn't care about myself.
Did you feel like you just didn't want to be here anymore?
Yeah. So I don't think there wasn't much value to my life when I went to Canada at that point. And then I think that's why, because I was still definitely naive, and I definitely think that Leah's dad saw that because he was 20 years older than me. And obviously when you're that much older than someone, you'd be able to recognise things that that person in that time wouldn't be able to. And I definitely think he took me naive and young to his own advantage. He, like, I remember we that was the night I kind of took him serious, was when I nearly got shot. I thought that he was the one that had my back, and I was like secure with that person, so I wanted to give it a go. And that was fine, everything was great. And then what happened was you'd get a punch in the nose first thing, and then it would be like, oh, I'm so sorry, but it would be an accident. And like at the time I would have believed it, because that was the first time I felt as like lifted his hand to me. Do you know what I mean?
So tell me about that then. You are realizing that you, like, he's my support network, he's my blank, and I think they do know that, they do know, and they do, like, what is it, they prey on the vulnerable,
yeah,
because they know that. So you start to go out then, as in go out, you know, going out and dating and stuff like that. And then is it at home one night, were you living together, what was it?
Do you know what it was? So I should have probably thought, because at the beginning it was more the love bombing. He was love bombing all the time, in the sense, like, he was always doing like gorgeous gifts. He'd always bring you out, he'd come home and you'd be out shopping for you, you know, like he'd always be treating you. And then at the beginning, obviously, you think this is amazing. Then he was like, you know what, you should quit your job and let me take care of you. He was like, sure, you don't need to work, I'm here. Obviously at like 22 23, that's like every girl, like, oh my god, absolutely delighted with life, don't have to work anymore. So I was like, yeah, not a bother.
Did you give up your job?
I did. So that was probably the worst thing I could have done, because then I was completely under his control. Yeah, so gifts, love bombing, and quitting my job was the first few things. Within the first 2 weeks, he'd said he loved me, which I remember thinking at the time, that's mad, because I couldn't, I'm real, like, I can't say I love someone unless I actually genuinely do. So it was just a bit weird for me at that time. And then it wasn't that like he'd hit me straight away. It was like little things. He was quite abusive verbally, which I didn't think getting of at the time. I don't know why I didn't think getting of it either. But I just was like, yeah, whatever.
In what way?
He'd be calling you every name of his son, like, you're a stupid crack whore. Bear in mind, I've never touched crack in my life. But like, he'd nearly be drilling things in your head that you'd nearly be starting to believe it. Do you know that way? He'd be calling me like a white trash bitch. He'd be laughing at you like, do you really think you're smart? Like, Jesus, man, what? He'd be just making a tick out of you. He loved trying to embarrass you as well. Like, I remember he had me go into a hotel room thinking we were going to be getting treated and it was going to be a nice little weekend away. And I seemed to realise that every time it was a hotel, it was not a good thing, because he'd bring you to a hotel, he'd do unspeakable things, and I can't even tell you, because I just can't. Unspeakable things. He'd try torture you. So he'd like put a curler on and then try to like stick it inside me. Or he would make me eat, and then he'd be like, right, go make yourself sick. So I'd be like, he'd call me fat all the time. I think I actually gained more weight when I was with him, because I just felt so shit in myself. I was also swollen. I think that was just from the stress. My face, Jesus, doesn't look like the same face from like 3 years ago. Yeah, so pretty much he'd batter you all the time. He'd be putting a kettle on at like 3 a.m. to scald you during the night. He would constantly put a gun to your head, gun in your mouth. He'd have FaceTime and me on the ground, you know, on my hands and knees, with a gun in my mouth, in my underwear, and he'd be just having his friends on the phone, making an absolute laughing stock of me. And I think that's something that I find so inhumane, because like, if someone were bragging me, I would not. I'd be like, what are you fucking doing? Like, that is disgusting. Like, I don't even understand how it could be funny to see someone so distressed. Like, my hair, everything. I started like just I just started like going to shit. Like my nails, my hair was falling out. I was gaining weight. My skin, everything. But you'd look in the mirror and you wouldn't even recognise yourself. Do you know that way? Like, I remember my hands were so badly bruised. My feet, my legs, because you'd just be kicking lumps out of you.
Was there nobody around? Nobody?
In Canada, there'd be people around, but they'd always be kind of saying, like, it's not our business, because they knew who he was as well. And, like, at the time, I didn't know who he was. He told me he was he owned apartment blocks, which he did, but he also did a lot more than that, and people were scared of him, do you know? I remember his own mother, he, like, so this was one night, I'll give you an example. I asked, could I go see my friend for an hour? I had to ask because he wouldn't allow me if I didn't. So I asked him, could I go see my friend for an hour? He was like, yeah, no problem. The whole way I knew there was an issue with it because you could just tell by his face you were going to get the repercussions, as he always said. He dropped me off. He was in the height of it. And it was an hour had gone by. I text, can I just stay for another hour? Because I hadn't seen her in over a year. And he was like, no, I'm outside now. Come down, get your stuff. And I was like, no, like, look, I haven't seen her in a year. Let me just have just another hour and I promise I'll be out then after. And he was like, yeah, Grant, just come down and get your bag. So I knew in my gut that wasn't the way it was going to end. Like, he wasn't just going to give me my bag and I could come back upstairs. So I asked my friend, could she come down with me? And she stood at it was all a big glass building. So she stood at the glass, like, watching out. And I went, and I didn't get into the car. I literally went, I had the window open. I went to get my bag. And he goes, no, 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 come around, talk to me first. So I stuck my head in the window and was like, what's up? He didn't even give me a chance to, like, I can't explain how everything happened so quick. Basically, I stuck my head in the window. He grabbed me by the scruff, wrapped my hair around his hands, then put his foot on the accelerator and started speeding down the road. So my body was out the outside. He's speeding down the thing. There was a car behind him trying to beep to get him to stop. While he had me at the scruff, while he was steering, he'd get his hand, let his hand off steering wheel and just keep punching me in the face. And then he brought me to a lake in the middle of nowhere. Bear in mind, it was like January, so it was full of snow. I was on my own by this lake with him. He had his gun out. I had slides on and, like, I was in pyjamas, like, and all I kept thinking was fight or flight. So I started running because he had the gun to my head telling me he was going to shoot me there and then. So I ran through the woods of, like, this area, ran through them, got to the main road. By the time I got to the main road, I thought I seen a car that could help me. It was only his car. So then he told me to get into the car. I wouldn't. So he dragged. I was trying to make a scene. I was hoping someone had a scene that, like, would help me. But no one did. So then I got into the back of the car. And I'll never forget, like, I used to always send my locations to people just in case, especially my mum. I remember texting my mum at one point, being like, I actually don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm here, okay? Like, you need to find me. I don't know why I'm getting so upset.
Caitlin. This is just horrific. Don't be worrying. It's like, yeah.
I can't stop shaking.
And at home, is your ma aware that, you know, you're in a bit of trouble over there? Like, you know, that's how we...
I never told her, but my mom's a bloody... She's some woman because she just knew. So she was on to, like, the Canadian embassy. She was on to everything trying to get me home. I didn't actually know that. She was having my phone tracked and traced, like, constantly. I think she knew, but she didn't know to what extent, you know. But she definitely did help because if it wasn't for her, she'd have gotten me out in no time. But I just didn't trust anyone to tell them, you know. But my mum don't feel, so I can't hide much from her.
So you sent her the message to say, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yeah, I've done that a few times because I didn't know. One point, like, there was another time we were actually here and it was the night that I got engaged and he I rang my mum and he didn't realise that I was on the phone to my mum. And I had the phone on the bed and he literally just came in and lifted me up by my neck. And then my mum could hear everything that was happening, which was killing me. Because she could hear the thumps, the screams, the kicks, the choking. She could hear it all. And then my mum ended up going into hospital that night. I thought it was a heart attack, but she was so stressed that they had to call an ambulance and everything because she was just, it was a really bad anxiety attack. But like, it was so bad that she thought she was having a heart attack. And that's when, and even at that, I told him that had happened. And I told him, and he told me that basically it's my own fault because I shouldn't have been on the phone, and if I had kept our business to ourselves, this wouldn't be happening, she wouldn't be in hospital. But it's always the guilt, even though he was the person that was hitting you and doing all this shit, he was putting that blame on you. And then, I'm not gonna lie, I felt it because it's my mom, do you know what I mean? So like, I wasn't taking what he was saying lightly.
He was isolating you
100%
big time.
He didn't want me to have friends, he didn't want my family around. Eventually, when it got to the point where my family had to fall back because they couldn't watch me get hurt anymore, and my friends were the same, he loved that. And he was like, see, I have your back 100%. All these people, they just fall off when they want. I'll never leave you. I'll never do this kind of thing to you. And I'd believed it. But by the end, I just started, like, getting repulsed by him. Mm. You know? Because he promised me, and I know I'm going to sound like an idiot, well, he promised me that once I had Aaliyah, he'd have stopped. And, like, the car situation, that was only when I only found out I was pregnant. So, like...
Did he know you were pregnant?
No, okay. But it was only that I knew that, like, I was. It was only then that when I came home, because I had the excuse of COVID, that was why I came home.
Was so, he Canadian?
Yeah.
And did he come home with you?
No. So okay. I said, I had to come home, like, I'm going to stay with my mum while I was pregnant, which was perfect, because I knew then she'd have been safe as well. And then he came here when I was 6 months pregnant, which was grand. He actually was fine. I think that was the best time we've had since we were together. And I thought, like, that was it. Like, he's really changed. And then...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It was only when Aaliyah was here then he was so jealous of her. It was insane. I actually couldn't comprehend it, because I was just like, how are you jealous of your own child? He'd always be like, you're putting that little bitch before me. And I'm like, how are you even calling your child a bitch? Like, she's a baby, do you know what I mean? He'd be like, you're putting her before me. So much so that, like, I used to have to hide in the bathroom with her in the bath, because he'd be banging down the door with a knife. Or I remember he blinded me one day, and I was going into work, and I had a big fucking bandage on my eye.
What did he do?
Well, he was just, like, he was kicking lumps out of me, and whatever way he hit me, something with the actual part of where I could see, was damaged. So I had to go to the opticians and get that sorted and bandaged. But it took 2 weeks, I think, for it to come back to, like, normal.
And for him, like, I just, like, absolutely, like, no excuse whatsoever with any of this. And I'm not, what I'm saying is that he's, him being so brave in Canada because you're away from everyone, but then for him to come here,
yeah,
in Ireland, where you live, where your family are, and doing all that to you as well.
And like, they had them all filled. Like, he was such a people person. Everyone that met him loved him. He was like, I think that's another thing that attracted me to him. Like, he was just such a real, like, good time. Like, he was just such a not good person to everybody else. But behind closed doors, he was just an absolute monster. And he used to always say that, like, he had tattooed on his hands God's gift. So he'd be like, you ready to get God's gift? And I'd be like, what the fuck? You know?
And was there hospital appointments? Was there, like, was your ma seeing these bruises, or were you talking, like, were you away from your ma? Is that when they started to pull back, or what? Tell me.
No, well, my little brother would get upset because he'd be, like, just verbally every day just abusing me. And my little brother would hear her, and my brother would go down to my mum and say it to her. And I just didn't understand, like, why people were getting upset, because I was like, you're always earning in it. If I'm able to handle it, why are you getting upset? But I do now, because obviously I'm out of it. And, like, I'd hate to see Aaliyah. I don't think, my mum fears if Aaliyah ever gets into that, because she's like, I fear what you do, do you know what I mean? But, like, I just wouldn't stand for it. But I can completely understand why. And I'm kind of glad that they pulled away, because if they hadn't have pulled away, I don't think I needed that, do you know what I mean? It gave me a realisation of, like, I literally have nobody, only this person, and this person's the one that's hurting me, so I need to get out of there. Like, the last straw for me was Aaliyah. He was so jealous of her. We were in Temple Bar at the time, but he was so jealous of her that he held her over the balcony in Temple Bar. And I remember I don't even know how I got from, like, A to B to C. It was just Mama Bear, everything took over, because it was just pure adrenaline. I remember getting her off him. She was strapped into her thing. I actually couldn't tell you how I got from there to there. But the one thing that I do remember is, however I got her out of his arms and into her seat and strapped, all I remember was I was on top of him, and I just kept choking him. And I just was like, I was so, like, it was like everything that he's done to me to then try to hurt her, it just, like, overcome me. And I just couldn't help but, like, strangle him, you know? Like, I was just so hurt, and I'm not proud of that at all. But it was the only thing that, like, that was my time. I had to go, you know? I'm, like, shaking.
You're so good. Like, you really are so good. Because the thing is that we don't realise that these things are happening constantly to so many people around Ireland, around the world. We don't know nothing. We don't know any of this. And it's so important for stories like your story to be told, so that a girl can be like, oh, well, I listened to that. Or a mom going through this can be like, I listened to that. And getting your daughter to listen to that and saying, like, look at this girl, look what she's done, look how amazing she is, look how brave she is. And I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm not brave, like, I'm, and a lot of people don't like survivor words as well, do you know what I mean? But to say, like, look, she got out of it, and look at her, she's gorgeous, you can do this too, do you know what I mean? And where did you go that day when you left?
Well, it was, so that happened, say, I'm just going to pretend it happened on, like, a Sunday. I was in work the next day, so I actually watched The Maid on Netflix. I had been watching that and I started taking little tips because I actually didn't know at the time that there was, like, I knew about women's aid, but I didn't know how you got the help when you needed it. So I watched The Maid, kind of started comparing my situation to her, and then was taking notes. So during, while I was staying with him, before the night happened, that him holding Aaliyah over the thing, I started putting little things into my car. And so he wouldn't have noticed, I'd put it in her baby bag, put it into my boot, you know. Then the night that that happened, then I just kind of started putting things away in separate bags, her baby bag, my handbag, whatever. I made sure they were big bags as well, do you know that way? And I put, the next morning I was going to work and it was like 7. And I remember just like sitting in the car and like, I was shitting myself even calling them. I don't know why, but I remember just being absolutely rattled that I'm actually going to do this. I rang them, I explained my circumstances, and they got me into a refuge there. And then that evening, they told me not to go back. It was too dangerous. And they'll have a spot for me and Aaliyah that evening. So I stayed there for a few weeks. He hadn't left yet, and the guards were out looking for him. They couldn't find him. Apparently, I don't know where he went, but I think he went up north or something to get a flight because they had no record of him leaving Ireland from Dublin. Okay. But even though he left, say, I don't know if he did or whatever at that time, but he, when I was in the refuge, he had told some girl to ring the refuge to let them know that he knew where I was. And that was then shy because they had to get me out of the refuge then and move us again into an emergency accommodation. And then after that, I had him blocked and everything, so like he couldn't get in contact with me. But I was on my nerves. Every car that was behind me, I was thinking he had someone following me because he said that he was going to do that. And I'd seen a lot with him, so I wasn't putting it past him, do you know, that way. Nobody got away with anything with him. So even me doing this, like, I feel like I'm doing it because I just want to be a big, like, fuck you, you're not going to stop me saying the truth. So, that's it. I can't remember where my train of thought
and went. So what is it like when you're in the refuge and then you're told you need to get out because he's on the way?
It's fucking terrifying. Like, you're already so stressed, you're depressed, you feel like your whole world is crashing down, and then you get told that on top of it, and you're just like, you just honestly, I don't know like how I'm still here, because the amount that man put me through, I was getting such severe PTSD that I'd be like crashing, but on purpose to try not be here. Do you know what I mean?
Like crashing your car.
Yeah, like when I say like there'd be a song come on, it would trigger me, and then I just think I seen him, and then I just wouldn't even be thinking straight. Like, I definitely, I don't know, I've learned a lot from the experience, but, like, the reason that I'm doing the podcast is because I want other girls to realise you don't have to put up with that. Do you know what I mean? You need to get out when you want to get out, and you don't have to explain yourself.
And at what point, then, do you contact your mum and say, I'm out, I'm away?
I didn't.
Did you not?
No. I think I was just so hurt. Like, they were aware of what was happening. I was like, I was embarrassed as well. I'm not going to lie, I was just fucking mortified. I was absolutely mortified because I had to get out of it. And like, I was so, he always made out that like, we were each other like ride or dies, right? So like, I always thought that I was going to stick by him regardless. So, and I said that to everybody as well, regardless what he does, I'm sticking by him. That's it. So it was just the embarrassment of coming out of it and then having to be like, okay, you're right, I wasn't okay. That was shit. It was just pure embarrassment.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Really tough.
Yeah. I'm dead here.
Your poor ma, she must have been up the walls about everything for you, do you know what I mean?
Ah, she was. She's at ease now, but like, God love her. She was definitely stressed all the time. She didn't trust him, and I don't blame her. Like, he was constantly out to get me. He didn't want me to be succeeding. He was constantly trying to second guess, like make me second guess myself and second guess my capabilities of anything. So like even when I said I wanted to do the makeup, it was just kind of like, all right, yeah, like, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. Mm. Or it was never serious. And like my mom hated that because she was always such a big, like, my mom's a real hype woman, you know. Mm. she doesn't want you. She was like my biggest supporter for a long time, so it was weird then when I'm with someone and he's not even my biggest supporter. It killed me and her, do you know what I mean?
And then when did you find out that he was gone, and is he gone?
I actually never like got confirmation, but it was just, I know now he's in Canada because he's reached out over the years. Not for me, but for Leah. But even at that, sometimes I feel like he manipulates the situation with Leah as his daughter just to try get to me, do you know that way? Like already, he was on the phone there like last week. And like that, I have separate phones so that he can ring her on the phone or whatever. And I could hear her, like, they were talking or whatever. And me and Aaron, we could hear what he was saying. And he's there like, oh, your mommy's crazy, isn't she? Like, don't make your mommy mad, she's crazy. Or he turns around and says, why don't you try break your mommy's finger? Like, well, how is that funny to a 3-year-old? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not. And even Aaron was getting frustrated because he's just like, that's not appropriate to be even saying. It's not funny. Like, fair enough if it was like a ha-ha moment, but he's like, no, go try break your mommy's finger. It's just weird, you know?
And would you ever just cut off ties?
I want to, but then I also want Aaliyah to have the option herself. She'll know, like, one day. And then when she does know that day, she'll be able to say, you know, but I don't want to be that barrier either between them having a relationship, because he has other kids in Canada and they were always like, they were always good. He is good with his kids, but to what extent? Like if he's holding baby over a balcony, you know, that's why I'd rather be over a phone than actual in-person visits. I'm happy out. If he just wants to ring, that's fine.
And she has brothers and stepbrothers and sisters, obviously, over in Canada as well.
Yeah. Which is shocking because they were cute kids. Mm. They don't deserve not knowing her sister because the dad can't control himself, do you know?
And talking about now, you know, and you said that to me coming up, like, you still get, even though he's away and he's still in Canada, the terror when the phone does ring, or what you were like every time if your phone rings, that's why you went and got the separate phone.
Yeah, I had to because the anxiety, it would put you through, like, every time I saw his phone, I think my face would be just in pure shock. I'd be just staring at it, and then I'd be like, what do I do? And I don't know what to do, because I'm like, I don't want to have to answer it, but it was just seeing his name, oh my God, every time he rang. And it sounds ridiculous, because it's like, of course he's going to ring for the child, but like, every time I saw the name on my phone, it'd either be dropped, and I'd be shook, and I'd be shaking with fear. It just sounds ridiculous, but it does happen. And I know so many girls that's happened to it as well, that they do get that fear and anxiety and PTSD. Everything comes back when you're that one person's name pops up on your phone.
And when did you start loving yourself again? And when did that turning point come for you?
Okay, so that, I'd say I've been working on myself for about a full year and like a few months. But it was when, say, not September gone, September before, I just looked around. Do you ever just, like, look in the mirror? You're looking around and you're like, this isn't the life I want. I was real depressed. I didn't know, my house was in bits. Like, I was just a mess. And I started to feel like I didn't want, if I couldn't live for myself, I had to make sure I could live for Aaliyah, if anything. So I needed to make sure that I could get little things done. So I started making, say, a little checklist of like little things. And when I say little things, it'd be like stick a wash on, get the dishwasher on, clean down the counters, wash the floors. And I started making a routine of that every week, right?
How hard is that?
It was very hard. I know people probably think it's easy, but when you're so down on yourself, actually having to pull yourself out of bed and do something, it was like those little tasks, I felt like I've achieved something. So those gave me something that I wanted to keep feeling, and I didn't know that those little things could make me feel like that. So doing those things definitely helped. Then I started building a routine. Then I started being like, okay, I can do a bit more now with myself. So then I wanted to work on my mind, because I just was scrambled. I couldn't I couldn't think straight because I had no clear thoughts. So I peeled it back. I got myself a journal, peeled it back, and was like, how did I feel as a child? What did I want to do as a child? I always wanted to be a makeup artist, so I wrote that down. And then I wrote down all the things that I felt when I thought about doing that. And it was all good and positive things. So then I was like, okay, like how this is going. So then I'd be like, I'll do that every week. So then it would say on a Sunday, I started reflecting. So it'd be like, what did I do? What did I achieve this week? Then what could I have done better? And then I'd take accountability, because the only way you can grow is taking accountability. So then I started being like, oh.
Where did you learn that?
Just pure for myself, because no one told me that. I just was like, if I don't recognize my wrongs, I'll never get it right, do you know?
It's clever, isn't it? It's just how the mind switches sometimes. Yeah.
But 100%, because I always wanted to be able to do that, but it was like I got to a point that I was like, I can do it, do you know? And even at that, like getting those little things done, making those every, and I still journal to this day because it's the only thing that unscrambles my mind. I have clear thoughts for a new week, do you know what I mean? Like, definitely journaling helps. And I even like made sure that when I was writing things down, I could obviously write down negative, but I always made sure I didn't. So even when I wrote things about myself that I wasn't too proud of, I'd write in about how I could have done it better in a positive way rather than focusing on a negative. So now I have literally a journal just full of positive things that I've done for myself, but like I can't read back on all the negative because it doesn't matter because I've grown so much now, do you know? Mm. And that's all that matters to me. And
it doesn't serve you at all.
It doesn't. Mm. So like that's why I'd love girls to just see that for themselves, like just to peel it back for as far as it's been a child, realizing what you wanted to be when you're older, because sometimes you can get lost in the sauce, especially when you're getting older. You don't you forget what you really wanted to do with your life, you know? And that's what happened to me. I completely lost touch of myself. I nearly became a character than a human when I was with him, because I was confrontational. I became someone I didn't want to be. He had completely changed me to the person. He morphed me how he wanted me, my style and everything, you know? Like, so like just those, taking those little powers back into my own hands and being able to just serve myself and not anyone else and just be who I want to be, 100% real. Do you know what I mean?
Tell me about your makeup.
My makeup. I love my makeup.
I love it too. It's gorgeous.
No, I just love doing it. I just freelance now. I was working in Sculpted. Absolutely loved working there. Just with Leah. Obviously, I had to cut back hours. But yeah, I'm working for myself now. And like,
when did you realise you're good at it? Like, when were you like, oh my God?
I've always been into it. Yeah. So like, I'm half Lebanese and I was obsessed when I was a child. My family would go to Beirut and they'd bring me back all their like bridal magazines. And
yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, so they'd bring me back all these like glamorous beauty magazines and I was just blown away by how you can make someone that looked like one part to then this like absolute goddess, you know? Yeah. So that was where I was always into art. I always drew faces. So like, I need to turn that on.
So on, you're okay. No, you're okay, don't worry.
Yeah, I always was knew that I wanted to be a makeup artist. I always was into art, always into faces, and it was always what I wanted to do. So, yeah, definitely my Lebanese side. And then growing up, I had worked in MAC in Glot, got my qualification. See, I did it when I was in school as well. So I did, like, when I was in school, I did, like, after-school courses in LA Makeup Academy. Then when I finished school, I went on, got my iTech. It was always what I wanted to do. I never like steered from it until all the other stuff happened. But then that's when I was like, if I really want to serve myself, what did I actually want to be? Because I had no purpose and now I feel like I've got my purpose back. Even if it is just to paint faces, you know.
But that's it. How's Aaliyah?
Aaliyah, she's brilliant. Oh, she's brilliant. But like, even at that, if I hadn't taken her out of that situation, she wouldn't be half the child she is now. Like, she's just constantly so happy. She wakes up happy, goes to sleep happy. She has her tantrums, don't get me wrong, but she's still such a happy kid. And I just know that if I had to stay in that situation, she'd be completely different. I don't think she'd be a shell of herself, do you know?
What advice now would you, for coming through it all and being through it, what advice now would you give A, someone who's probably in the middle of it, or and B, the family that's watching this going on?
To the family, just be there, even if you've had enough and you're hurt and you've you just want to wipe your hands clean of it. Even just being there in the background and letting them know, so that when they do want to leave, they have somebody and a safe place to go. It can be hard when you feel like you've left the person. And just speaking from experience, it's a really low time as it is when you're getting out of it. So you do need your closest people there that do care about you. So just be there. It may not be like constantly, but even just in the background, giving texts or rings, or letting them know that they can call you or text you whenever they need. Just be there.
And like, this is the thing, like, I think it's like not ringing and constantly going, you know, what's it? Just ring, hi, how are you? Just so that that person knows, well, actually, I can't pick up the phone.
That's it. Literally just something simple like that. And it does help, because I know I had one friend that was constantly there. And even though she wasn't happy about hearing things, I knew I could go to her. And that she, there was no judgment. There was no, like, you need to do this, you need to do that. It was none of that. She just listened. I felt heard. And that's, I think that's all you need when you have, are in a situation like that. So just be that person for the people you care about. And then for the women that are in it, if there's one thing I could say, is just look in the mirror. That is what I done a lot when I was in the situation. Just look in the mirror and look at you. But do you actually see yourself? Because I guarantee you don't. And that's not your fault. But you can 1000% get out of it. Women are 100% a community. So whether you have your family or not, there's women out there that will help you. Like the likes of Women's Aid, even as Refuge. Like there's loads of places. So just give the police, give me a text. I'll even help you and guide you. But even just get onto Women's Aid and ring them. They'll help you in ways that you wouldn't even know. In, like, always, counselling, kids, everything, they'll help you.
Because we had the Girls from Stop Domestic Violence Ireland, they were on the podcast, and they were on at the start of last year, and even up to 2 weeks ago, we were in the middle of something, and she was like, I've got someone out. She'd heard the podcast, and she's like, I'm in the middle of getting her out. And I was like, a year later.
Yeah.
Like, this is why it is so important to keep talking, for me to keep finding brave women like you that will come on and share your stories, because it is an absolute pandemic out there now.
It is. People
stuck in situations.
I find, and I could be wrong, but this is just from my own, like, viewing of it. I find, like, a lot of things are becoming normalised on, like, TikTok especially. So, like, things that, like, this toxic behaviour, it's not normal. Like, everyone loves a bit of toxicity. Mm. But, like, to a point where you're getting battered or you're getting spoken to like you're a dog, that's not right. And I just think that, especially because young people, they don't realise these things that are trends can be someone else's reality. Mm. And it's not funny. It's not fair. So, like, maybe just take a bit of pinch of salt that, like, these toxic men and toxic women, they're actually just not good for you, you know?
Because it's mad. I was, a couple of years ago, we were at an event and my friend's 15-year-old was there. And I was like, oh, any boyfriends? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, how come? And she was like, oh, no. She's like, my friend is with a fella and he's telling her what to wear. He's like, the love bombing. And I do love that kids know what, like, red flags, love bombing. 100%. They know those terms now. But she's like, he's telling her what to wear every day, telling her how to wear her hair. She's not out. And I was like, 15.
Like, that's insane.
But I was so proud of her. And I was like, do you see that? And she was like, yeah, we see it. I was like, does she see it? And they're like, no, she doesn't see it. And I was like, that is like 15.
That's insane.
And someone being that coercive, controlled behaviours from a 15-year-old boy is fucking mental.
No, it is. But that just shows you how, like, young it can come from to, and it goes to all ages. Like, you're not safe. Mm. It doesn't matter what age you are. You could be in that situation and you're just not safe. So I do think, though, TikTok, it's great in ways, but, like, sometimes with the toxicity stuff, it's not great, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. And as well as that, like, social media, like, I'm just trying to keep immediate off it as much as I can, but it's a losing battle. But as I said, I'm doing it, trying to have those conversations where I'd say, you know, if that happens now, and she's like, Mom, stop, please stop. And I'm like, I can't stop because that's the worry I have.
Yeah, but that's because we know what's out there as well, do you know that way? I think I'll probably be the exact same, because I'm already, like, with Aaliyah, I'm like, now if you say no, you say no, and that's okay. But it is what it is.
But I think you're right in what you said about going into schools. And I think it's not to terrorise or it's not to frighten. No. It's to save lives or save situations.
Yeah. I think as well, like, even if it's not, say, third years, even, like, fifth and sixth years, even just talking about them, because they're going to be going into the real world then, and they'll have these situations that they may not be as sure about. What would they, like, it's some, like, I was 22, 23, and I had a 20-year-older man onto me, do you know?
Mm.
So it's not like, and, like, listen, he didn't look his age, but he's still 40 years old and knows what he's doing. So I just think maybe not everyone is going to be in the same situation as me, and maybe not everyone's going to be with a man that's 20 years older than them. But just having those, like, if I got taught about it maybe when I was that age, I definitely would have been more aware and less naive, you know.
How are you today?
I'm actually all right.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, I still get upset and I still struggle with my anxiety, which I never struggled with as bad as I do now, which is nuts. But other than that, like, things are just good. I feel like I've controlled my own life, which I've never been able to say. Mm. So I feel good about it.
Good for you. Yeah. And on that note, we leave it there.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming and sitting with me. And I'm so glad that I seen this little beautiful creature walking into the baths in Clonterf, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And I just had to go straight to you. Like, and I'm so glad I did, because we got to sit down here and do this.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.